Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, why are you still topless?
It's because it's still bloody hot, that's why. I'm sweating like a pig.
I'm here in London, ladies and gentlemen, sitting next to Pete. It's quite hot. He is topless.
Yeah.
This is unacceptable. I am so hot, I'm literally burning, but I'm not wearing a t-shirt. I'm not topless.
Oh.
I conduct these podcasts with a level of professionalism and decorum that you just simply
I like the way you touched off the word professionalism.
Professionalism. I haven't drunk enough coffee to be able to pronounce big words. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Yeah, it's the summer's on its way, I think. I'm going to be looking forward to autumn, I think. I was really praying for a really warm summer, but all we've really had is like rainy day, ridiculously hot day, rainy day, ridiculously hot day.
Well, I'm going to have to cut you off there, Pete. Well, I have to cut you off because
I read a
comment the other day from someone hating on the Abroad in Japan podcast. It says we discuss the weather too much.
Yeah, I'm stuck my plum.
What I will say, though, is I've been enjoying my time back in the UK immensely.
Yes.
Weather is rather pleasant here.
Ooh.
Take that,
ooh,
weather hater. Yeah, it's nice. The thing I like the most about the UK is the food.
Right, okay.
I love the food here. I've been eating bacon and sausages and cheese. That's why I'm probably more overweight now than I was a few weeks ago. It makes me realise how angry I am when people in Japan tell me that British food is awful.
Right, okay, yeah.
British food was awful up until probably the noughties. Probably in the last 20 years, it's improved quite a lot,
right, yeah.
I think, for various reasons. But what annoys me the most is in Japan, when you say, I'm from England, they'll go, oh, wow, Sugoi, Harry Potter. And then they'll go, oh, but the food's awful, isn't it? And I'll be like, no, it's not. I'll be like, when did you go to England? And they'll go, I'll never.
Mm.
And I'll be like, well, don't lecture me on British food when you've not been there. If you've been in the UK for a month and you've eaten all the different foods, all the pies and fish and chips and butter beer, all right, and you still think British food's awful, that's fine, I'll accept that. But don't tell me British food's awful when you haven't been here.
Is butterbeer from Harry Potter?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Do we drink butterbeer?
Butterbeer is amazing. We drink it.
Disgusting.
And we have wizards and magic wands. But no, it really does annoy me. That's one of the things that bugs me the most about Japan. I'm going to make a video about it.
Mm.
And it's going to be me walking through Tokyo shouting at Japanese people who tell me British food's bad. Throwing fish and chips at them.
I fear that our food is dreadful. And
you are part of the problem.
Why am I part of the problem?
Where do you eat? Where do you eat your food?
In your house,
pot noodles.
Chinese, Japanese, all the food of the world. But I mean, I never bother myself. I never eat fish. Our food is fish and chips.
I eat pubs. And some of the best food you can get in the UK is just gastropub food.
We're talking
shepherd's pie, roast dinners.
Yeah, but I mean, it's all very basic, isn't it? It's just, there's no craft to cutting off a slice of meat.
Japanese food is basic.
And then just putting meat gravy, which is just salty meat. Salty meat juice on top of
it. I think the main reason they have is that British food, we don't put a lot of effort into presentation. Whereas if you look at Japanese food, it's beautifully curated. It looks like art. You know, you eat something like fugu, where it's sliced up and looks like a beautiful tapestry.
You had that again in Tokyo Station, didn't you? Fugu. Fried.
I had fried fugu in Tokyo Station.
Interesting.
In a recent video. But we don't put enough effort into presentation, so it looks a bit of a mess. So
yeah.
I think that's it. Anyway.
Hot pot. We like hot pots here, don't we?
There you go. But let us know. What do you think about British food? Let us know at the abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com inbox. Today we are reading from the fax machine your comments, questions, stories. We're here to do just that. And what's the first one we've got, Pete, from James O'Shea?
James O'Shea in Middlesbrough, which is kind of where I'm from. Currently planning a trip to Japan, and like any true Brit abroad, I would like to know what is the most traditionally English / a British thing you've encountered in Japan. Likewise, what would be the most traditionally Japanese thing you've come across in the UK?
Oh God, you put me on the spot there.
Yeah, I mean, you compiled these emails, so you should really have an answer. How dare you?
What is the most traditionally British English thing you've encountered in Japan? They have a very, actually, it ties in quite nicely with the first point. They have quite a warped image of the UK just being Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I remember going into Hub, which is an English themed pub chain, and it's pretty good. You get reasonably priced drinks from around the world there.
Very thick glasses.
Thick glasses. It's good. But the first time I went there, and they don't do it now, every table had a little pamphlet about British pub culture to educate masses on British pub culture. And it was a complete fabrication of what British pub culture actually is. Mm. They said, in the UK, every Sunday, the British population goes to church. After the sermon, they go and get drunk in the pub, which is built into the church. Mm. And it literally said that. And I was like, what? Which church is this? And why don't I go there?
You've not got it massively wrong.
But like,
you do a lot of drinking.
Well, yeah, I suppose. But
I don't mention the fighting, though.
It felt a bit warped. But I find British-themed pubs look more like what you'd imagine a British pub to look like on a film set than in reality.
Yeah.
They look kind of those like barrels and things.
But I mean, not only have you got the British pub, you've got the Irish pub as well. They're obviously very, very good at that. I like that that Twitter woman, that fascist from Ireland, who basically said, look at the Islamification of Ireland. It's only a matter of time before we're under Sharia law on our bollocks. And she was pointing at a halal meat shop in Dublin or wherever the hell it was. And somebody made the point, sorry, there is an Irish pub in every fucking country in the world. Like, so fucking wind it in. And obviously she's a fascist. But that was a really, really good point. There are Irish pubs everywhere.
Well, certainly in Japan there's no shortage. You know, there's probably more Irish-themed bars than British-themed bars, and they basically look the same.
Hugely. And also
different pictures of some of the... If it's an English pub, it has pictures of London. If it's an Irish pub, it has pictures of Dublin.
Pictures of Dublin, yeah. And also, and just Guinness is nice there. And they just do things right.
So that's the most traditional English thing you'll find in Japan, I think. Most traditionally Japanese thing you've come across in the UK? You spend a lot more time in the UK than I do.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of karaoke, kind of lucky voice places that kind of co-opt that Japanese
feel. We do not
feel.
Have karaoke in the UK.
We do it badly. We do it badly, but I mean, we do it. In the big cities, you've got lucky voice everywhere. It's very expensive. Very expensive. Mm. So
Wagamamas.
Wagamamas, I mean, there's the Itsus and the Yosushis and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, we do have Itsu and Yosushi.
Ramen places, Shoryu and stuff.
Yeah.
We got bits and bobs. I do recommend the Itsu. Is it Itsu or is it... what's that other one that we've got that do like katsu? They're obsessed with katsu. Katsu curry is everywhere now. Everything has to have...
Well, I
goddamn
did walk past
katsu
the Koko curry house in London. Oh, Koko Shibanya, yeah. It's pretty busy, yeah. It's quite impressive.
Yeah, it seems very busy, and if you can get a seat, it's not a bad little bit of food, I'd say. Matt in Birmingham in the UK, love the podcast. Thanks, mate. It keeps me entertained and informed while I'm running. What are you running from, though, Matt? That's what I would ask. A friend of mine went to Japan last year, travelling on his own, and he had mostly great time. But he told me that there were onsen he went to where he was sat minding his own business when several locals started splashing the water. At first, he thought it was weird, but it became increasingly clear that they were intentionally splashing him. He eventually got annoyed and left.
This is at an onsen, a hot spring?
Yeah.
Blimey.
I've not been in that situation. I've been in a situation where some Chinese kids were splashing around and treating it like a pool.
Yeah.
And it was very loud.
This is a really weird story. I've never heard of this happening.
Yeah.
It's people weird. Splashing you at a hot spring.
Yeah.
Usually in hot springs, people sit kind of very quietly in the corner and just get on with it.
Yes.
And it's lovely. I like it. People don't mess about in Japan around pools. Any kids that do usually are thrown out the window.
Yeah.
If that happens to you, that's really weird.
Very, very strange.
I don't know why that would happen. Like that. He says he didn't have any tattoos, so I doubt that offended him in some way. So no tattoos. You've got tattoos. You've been to an onsen. You didn't get splashed, except by me, probably.
I don't know why anybody would do that. I think they're far and fast rule with travelling anyway. If someone's been a dick, they're just being a dick, you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be culturally justified, because it can't be culturally justified. It's just somebody being a fucking dick. So
exactly.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, Matt in Birmingham. It's fine. I've never seen anything like that.
We've got a question from Leanne from Pennsylvania. Hi, Chris and Pete. Did you visit Japan before you moved there, or did you take a leap of faith? My end goal after university is to get a job in Japan, but I don't think I'll be able to afford a vacation there before I go. I've been in love with Japanese culture, architecture, food, language, and pop culture since I was a very young child, and I watch videos on the good, the bad, and the ugly to prepare myself in any way possible, and am still sure of myself. Many people tell me I need to visit to make sure I like it, but I just don't see that being possible. Any advice before I go? Leanne from Pennsylvania. I didn't go to Japan before I moved there.
Yeah.
Which is quite weird.
Right.
You think you'd feel out a country's culture and what it's like before going. But I kind of wanted to dive in the deep end. I thought it'd be a lot of fun. If, like me, Leanne, you want to see your entire life story as like a movie, do it, because it'll be fun. There'll be loads of stories and weird, crazy stuff that'll happen. Mm. It'll be amazing. And you'll look back on it in 10 years and go, wow, that was fun, like I do now. 7 years ago, I moved to Japan, and not a day's gone by that I regret it. And I've had very few negative experiences that I can draw from, actually. It's almost a disappointment.
Hugely.
I've not really experienced any races or anything like that that I can talk about. And yeah, for the most part, Japan's a great place to live, work, and get on with it.
I'm annoyed I missed out myself, quite frankly, and I have to just take the odd holiday.
But I mean, if you go back in time now, would you try and go to Japan and teach in another program?
Yeah, I think so.
Because you didn't get on the JET program.
Yeah, because I was just terrible. I mean, you're smirking at me because you got on, but I'm just saying I was rubbish. I'll happily admit that. I'm rubbish now. I'd probably tank it now, to be honest.
Well, this is the thing. I think you'd have been a great teacher. You'd have been way better than I am. Yeah. But the JET program famously often seems to let some of the wrong people through, as I've found and my friends have found.
Yeah, has there been any proper wrong'uns who like got into like trouble? Just absolute naughties.
There's a guy doing drugs who got buggered, I think, last year on the JET program, got put in prison for a year. I've met people I've thought, how did you get in this? How did you get on this? Children should not have to interact with you.
No, exactly.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to get through.
Right.
But no, I'd say just go for it, Leanne. Watch as many videos as you can. Read some books so you know the etiquette in advance. Learn as much Japanese as you can. That's the one regret I do have. I wish I'd known a little bit more before I moved to Japan. But other than that, dive into the deep end. You don't need to go on a vacation. I couldn't afford a vacation either, because to go to Japan does cost literally thousands of pounds or dollars to go for 2 weeks. It's just not affordable. And I thought, well, I'm never going to be able to go there on a vacation because it's so expensive. I might as well go and live there. Mm. And it worked out pretty well.
Maybe I'll just get like an au pair job. But au pair and English teacher.
Au pair.
Live in.
And what's that where you raise people's children?
I think you just look after the kids and teach them stuff, I think, maybe.
That'd be awful.
People who want to be homeschooled.
But you just walking in every day, bringing a bucket of Koolish for the children to dance around in.
Yes. Love it.
Antonio says, hello, Chris and Pete. I am Antonio.
Hello, Antonio.
A university student from Hong Kong who would really love to meet Pete in person. And Chris, too, in brackets. I love that.
Yes.
But unfortunately, I am attending uni in the West Midlands, which grants me a much smaller chance to bump into you two on the streets.
I'm always in Birmingham, me.
Watching Chris's videos and listening to the podcasts have been my cure of boredom while preparing for my dinner and shopping in Sainsbury's.
Ooh.
Chris even got me infected with his excessive use of the word sinister.
Sinister.
That I've been using it recently for quite a number of times without actually noticing. Do I use the word sinister that often?
I don't think so. I wouldn't. Yeah, no, I didn't. I wouldn't.
I quite like the word sinister.
Sinister.
Sinister. I have been suffering from a lack of motivation for years now on studying, losing weight, learning Japanese, though I'd really love to live a life in Japan after graduation. I remember Chris once mentioned about reading some Japanese proverbs and listening to brainwashing recordings. But could I get some more suggestions from you to cope with my problem? Much appreciated. And please keep up the good work. Love you guys. Best wishes, Antonio.
Love you too, Antonio. Enjoy university.
There's so much here packed into this.
Enjoy Sainsbury's. Get yourself a cheese twist. Get yourself. Come on.
Do I listen to brainwashing recordings?
No, I don't think that's the thing.
The Brian Japan podcast is.
Maybe you listen to stuff where you go to sleep or something. I don't know.
I did used to, in my first year, I listened to a book by Brian Tracy on the power of self-discipline. That was it. Okay. Brian Tracy's self-discipline. It's quite a good book, actually. Mm. I used to listen to that every day when walking to and from school, because I like to walk to school, and I listened to that and it kept me busy.
Cool.
And it kind of helped me become more disciplined in my life, I guess. But I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Listen to that. Brian Tracy, Power of Self-Discipline. Put that on. And basically you learn that the one thing in life that divides people between those who are successful and those that aren't successful is a lack of self-discipline often.
Right.
And I found that I did have a lack of self-discipline. So I didn't because I listened to that book and now I'm brilliant. Do that and then you,
you
can...
just said you've let yourself down by putting on a bit of weight.
I did put on a bit of weight. Oh. I need to listen to it again.
Have some self-discipline.
I need some more discipline.
Here's a quick one from Brendan. Hello, B-Dog. Dearest Chris and Pete, that is very informal yet a little formal. I love your podcast so very much and look forward to them every week as they help me forget all my worries. Oh, Brendan, mate, come on now. I have a question that I'd like to direct to Chris and ask, what are the positives and negatives of working as an alt in the JET program? I've heard the hours are long, but what is the working environment like with fellow Japanese teachers and the students? What made you decide to stop after a couple of years, after a few years, and what kept you going during your stint? Is it like finances, the length of time you got? Because sometimes you'll have days where you don't do anything, and it's just, it is quite variable, the days that you work and the days that you don't work.
Well, I mean, we really should do a podcast on English teaching in Japan. I think we've skirted around it for the last year and a half, but... In summary, I left after 3 years because I felt like I'd done everything I could.
Right.
I felt self-disciplined. I felt like I'd learned everything I could from the job and it was time to move on. And
right.
when you are in a job and you feel like you've reached your peak, it is time to move on to the next challenge. Yeah. My next challenge was full-time.
To not do
YouTube.
It.
Yeah, exactly. First year as a teacher, I wasn't very good. I look back on it now and it's so hideously embarrassing. I would quite literally go to 7-Eleven, buy a bag of sweets, go into the classroom, do a little crappy quiz.
Bribe people.
And then be like,
sweets.
Oh, look, sweets, children. And then throw sweets everywhere. And then I'd be like, yeah, I'm the best teacher in the world. Bye.
It just, and it was really bad. You're the assistant as well.
Teachers,
you shouldn't be allowed.
I remember one time I walked in with a bag of sweets and one of the teachers I worked with, who was great, just said, Chris, we should stop playing games and start teaching them. And that was quite rare for a Japanese teacher
to actually
take a stand and be direct with me. And be like, yeah, I think it's time we stop using sweets and start teaching. I was like, yeah, right. And, that's when I became good.
Oh.
So I will talk about this at length in another episode, but I will say that the working environment was pretty good. Working environment was very good. It depends heavily on each school. I had great experiences. Some people had better experiences. And I do know some people that didn't have great experiences. I've never met anyone on the JET program, certainly, who had an experience that was so bad they had to leave. The only person I know who left after 1 year was because he was placed in a really rural area and he found it hard to actually get out and socialise with people. That's more of a problem. The salary's all right. The salary's good enough to save enough money and travel and see and do things in Japan. And the working hours aren't that bad either on the JET programme in particular because it's a government-run programme. They know not to push you to your limits like a lot of Japanese jobs do. There are some unsavoury teaching programmes in Japan that will exploit you and push you and pay you less and give you more working hours. We will talk about that in another episode, but for the most part, my experience was very positive and I always recommend it. If you're someone who's thinking of going to Japan to teach English on JET, 100% go and do it. I have not a single day has passed that I've regretted doing that.
Huge.
But I think that's a pretty good demonstration
summary
of how it was a good decision. You know, no regrets whatsoever.
Indeed, and it gave you a little bit of a platform to find other things to do. Hello to IT support in the attic.
IT support in
the
attic.
Yeah, that's all we've got. Hi, Kristen Core. Rude. Sekiro
and Co.
How rude.
I like that. I'm going to refer to you as Co from now on.
Jesus. Sekiro and the Legend of the Five Rings has awakened my suppressed Japanophile. When I was a student, I voraciously studied foreign languages as I wanted to be some kind of international studies major. But since I switched my focus to software engineering, I have found little use for human languages. Is that who you want to be friends with?
Yeah.
I don't have much time to spend on other hobbies outside the ones I currently have, and most of them I justify as being part of a larger career path. Can you think of any practical reasons for learning Japanese if you don't plan on living there or travelling every year? No, probably.
No. In short, no. Like, I love Japanese learning. It's been a lot of fun. It's great to be able to read and write kanji characters and talk in Japanese and stuff. But if you're not going to live in Japan... I really wouldn't bother. It takes a lot of time. I spent like the best part of 2 years, all my free time, learning it.
Is there any, if you learn Japanese kanji, is there any crossover with Chinese characters?
Yes, they do. Yeah, you can read a little bit of Chinese characters.
Right.
There is definitely crossover, which is cool. I was in Taiwan and I could read certain things like coffee or food or drinks.
Oh.
Open, close, yes.
Sweet.
No. But you know, for the most part, I wouldn't bother because it's a massive time investment. And
yeah.
You have to use the sort of opportunity cost. What can you be doing in that time? For me, I stopped learning Japanese a few years ago now because I realised I'd reached where I wanted to be with the language. I could communicate, I could get by in daily life. But then I wanted to become a filmmaker and that's what I wanted to throw my energy into. And so I did.
And it's mainly English language anyway.
Exactly. So learn what you need to learn to get where you want to be. And
to be satisfied in yourself as well. It's all about what you're happy with, isn't it? It's not what... is expected of you. If you're happy learning, you know, knowing a few words and you can get by like
that. What I will say is, having learned Japanese, I was more curious about how languages operated. I would like to do like a month-long crash course in German or Spanish or something and learn and grasp a new language and see how that works. But for the most part, if you're not coming to Japan, it's not worth learning. And even if you come in Japan for 2 weeks, it's only worth learning a few phrases.
Hugely.
Yeah, so there you go.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Got a question here from Rosemary. He says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. I hope you're both well. I'm Rosemary from the UK and listen to the podcast on my commute through the Kent countryside." Yeah, Kent represent.
Good.
"I'm turning 30 next year and will be going to Japan for the first time around the same time on my honeymoon. Yay. I'm thinking of making a 30 before 30 list of activities, like a bucket list without the dying part, one of which is visiting Japan. I think Chris is the same age as me and was wondering if he made a 30 before 30 list, would there be anything notable on it, even if it's not Japan related? Pete, if you could add one Japanese experience to Chris's list, what would it be? Please also give a shout out to my fiance Steve, who introduced me to abroad in Japan and got me interested in Japan. Hello, Stephen
and Rosemary.
Have a nice time with Rosemary.
Have a lovely
marriage.
Have a nice time with Rosemary.
That's really hot.
Two spices.
This room's like a sauna.
Two spices. Thyme and Rosemary.
Got us filming and recording in a tiny booth. Really hot.
It's actually quite pleasant in the wintertime because it's quite warm, but during the summer months, it's horrible.
Generally so hot I'm forgetting how to speak. What have you thought about this one?
I think you should go to a soccer match in Japan. Chris's first Japanese soccer match. Yeah,
I will kill it.
You can stand in the ultras,
you know,
and wave the flags.
You know I don't do football.
The ceremony. I think seeing you've been to a baseball match in Japan, haven't you?
I was dragged kicking and screaming to one because it was my school playing. Right. And I remember I watched for 5 minutes and then I went and just sat on my iPhone and read a book.
No, but I mean like a full scale. I think you kind of forget how impressive seeing 10,000 people together in one place is.
Why would this be on your 30 before 30 list?
Because you've not seen, you've not been to
like
a soccer match.
You've
not
cycle
been
to a, across Japan. You've not go been up proper, Fiji. You've not go and watch proper someone bat a ball over a fence. My list, I haven't got a list, Rosemary. I should definitely make one. I think that'd be a lot of fun. I should make it and we should discuss it in an upcoming episode.
Yeah, let's do a little plan. How long have you got?
What have you got? Have you got like a 40 before 40 list?
God, no, anyone who does that is a bellend. But 30's fine, I guess.
I think one of those things on your list would be on the Abroad Japan channel, which you've
Exactly. I've achieved.
You've done.
Superseded with my efforts as well.
Sorry, Rosemary, I feel like I've done nothing of value for your question there, other than promise you something in the future. Although I did give Stephen a shout out. So
let's do it.
Best podcast ever. One last question here, Pete, from Eloise.
Eloise.
Who says, hi, Chris and Pete. Love the podcast. I listen to it while I'm baking. This week, it was a millionaire shortbread. Lovely.
Mm.
My boyfriend and I recently returned from a three-week sojourn. What's a sojourn?
Sojourn.
Sojourn.
A little trip, a little deviation from normal broadcasting.
That's a nice word. Sojourn in Japan. Beginning in Tokyo, ending in Osaka, and visiting Hakone, Kyoto, Hiroshima, and Koichi in between. Well, that's interesting. Not many people go to Koichi.
Where's Koichi?
Koichi is in Shikoku. Ryotaro's been there and he loves it. It's good seafood, apparently. One thing we noticed whilst we were there is the lack of benches or any places to sit, and the signs begging people to please refrain from resting anywhere.
Please refrain from resting anywhere.
This? Especially in Tokyo, which is so huge and tiring, we really miss the availability of places to just sit and rest our legs. Bonus question, what makes the plushies so soft? I ended up bringing an octopus plushie from Osaka because it was a kind of soft I've never come across before. Thank you for reading, Eloise.
Illegal chemicals make the plushies so soft.
They probably do. Asbestos plushies for the family.
You've got those daft games where the claw machines, where they've got a load of cameras trained
famously
on the claw machines.
In the one in Osaka where you did it in the video.
Oh, yeah,
the
I didn't
video
win
where Pete's in Osaka, he did a claw machine, he lost. And it's quite
I've won a few things in my time. What did I win? Oh, I won an entire packet of, you know, those little omiyagi kind of little biscuit, the crisps.
Pocky?
They're like, no, not a pocky, they're like crisps. They're like big, long kind of, it's Dorimons on them. Pocky? The Pokemons are here. Dorimon advertising them. They're like little crunchy crisps. Dorimon.
Dorimon. No, not a clue.
Yeah, well, anyway, they're like little kind of like grabble. You sort of eat them like, in little packets. You see them in bars every now and again at Halloween. It's like a little trick and treat, trick or treat sort of situation.
Yeah.
And they're really nice. And I bought, and I won on my first go, like a massive packet of about 50 of them. And I was trying to eat a little bit healthy last time I went to Japan because I just ended up putting loads of weight on. And so I crunched through about 5,000 packets of them. It was very nice. Very, very pleasant.
Did you sit on a bench?
Benches are around.
They're not.
Benches are
around,
aren't they?
No, I've talked about this before,
really?
How much I hate the fact.
What?
Japan really doesn't want you to experience, like, just relaxation.
Enjoy life, right.
I don't know why this is. You go to temples and places. Benches are rare. They are there sometimes, but they are pretty rare by the standards of other countries. Like,
okay.
In the UK, we have a bench every 5 feet.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe people are lazy, I don't know. But I don't know why that is. It seems in Japan, it's the outdoors is treated very differently to how it is here. There's a sense of, I don't know, I often feel like when I'm in Japan, everywhere I go, I'm in a library.
Yeah.
And when I'm walking down the street or I'm checking out a temple or I'm anywhere, I feel like, oh, I can't relax or enjoy myself here.
Yeah.
I have to look at it and get a move on.
Yeah, I my own experience is, I guess, is from big cities, I suppose. So, I guess maybe you don't see that many not many benches out in the sticks, but
my advice: get yourself to Don Quixote, buy a little chair.
What is a little chair?
Bring it around with you, Eloise.
Yes.
And the next time you're in Japan, you can sit there with your chair and your asbestos plushie and have a whale of a time. That is all for now, guys. Keep the comments, questions, stories coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back same time next week to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week, and we'll see you next Wednesday.
Bye bye.
This was a Stakhanov production. Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.